This is part two of my conversation with estate planning expert Bruce Young. In this episode, Bruce shares valuable insights on the importance of regular review and communication in estate and legacy planning. So get ready to learn how to build a purpose-driven legacy that goes beyond just the money and the other stuff.
This is the Executor Help Podcast, the show for people who want the sense of security knowing all their affairs are in order. Avoid the stress and anxiety of what could happen to your estate, to your assets, and to your family when you're no longer here. Now here's your host, David Eady.
You've chosen the executor, you had the family discussion, and you're preparing the next generation. So that situations change, the will could change. So it's an evolution. It's going to evolve the conversations. I don't assume that you're just going to have one conversation and then that's it. We're never going to have this talk about it again. Do you see yourself having other conversations from time to time?
Oh yeah. Ooh, I'm a big advocate on, you have to review your estate and legacy planning. You have to review it on a regular basis. And, you know, I'm air quoting regular, you go define regular. Do you know that, well, across North America, it's something like about 72% of people have wills, but when you look at them, people haven't looked at it for at least 5 years, it now drops down to 50%. You have to review them on a regular basis. And you also have to review them anytime there's a change in, when you got changes in life circumstances. I'm a believer that you should be looking at it at a minimum every 3 years. I encourage clients to do it every year. I work with a lot of accountants and tax preparers, and I suggest to those accountants, when you're doing the tax returns, just add a couple extra questions to know where they're at. You're going to have full line of sight on when you're going to start seeing changes in people's financial situation, or maybe they've made changes in whatever investments or they're holding, whatever the details are. You'll recognize them as the tax preparer. Make a note in your file to come back after tax season when it's not so busy, but engage your clients in those conversations. And have the same conversation with life insurance advisors and financial advisors on how important that is. I advocate for annually, but every 3 years would be wonderful. Certainly not more than five. And that's the role of advisors, by the way. That's, you know, we talk about the family journey, but we also talk about, you know, what's the role of an advisor? You can't expect the average person to understand all the intricacies, and that the laws are changing, the tax laws are changing. You know, our friends down in the United States right now, the gifting laws change next year. Here in Canada, there's new rules about trust tax, you know, trusts and reporting. The court cases come out all the time. Things are changing all the time. We can't expect our clients to stay on top of that. That's not their expertise. It's ours. All of ours collectively as advisors. It's up to us as advisors to build into our processes a regular review, a regular discussion with our clients, and know how to ask the right questions to identify when things have changed. It's critical.
So let me ask you, when you had this conversation with the family, did that also spur them on to make sure that their house is in order when it came to their estate plans? Do they make sure they have wills and they're preparing the next generation after you to let them know what's going on?
I think there's another space in there where there's perhaps some apathy. They'll get to it. Some of them will, some of them won't. We have a grandchild coming soon with one of our children. That's a good time to start having that conversation. I've poked at it a little bit that they'll have to be looking at that as well as insurance.
So let me get this straight. You have this family get together. You're explaining what you and your spouse are doing with the estate plan, and at no point did that trigger everybody say, "Hey, we should be doing that," or they were looking at, "Hey, that's mom and dad. They're old. They need to be doing that." Is that sort of, because it sounds like everybody wasn't on board saying, "Yeah, we need to get our house in order as well." And now you've got to a grandchild coming.
Some of them will. I'll make sure I stay on top. And my kids know me that I'll stay on top of them. Yeah, no, listen, not everybody's going to do it. Not everybody's going to do planning. And even those who do planning, a lot of people aren't going to, I've got clients, I'll tell you a story here, but one, a lot of people think their plan is fine. And I have a lot of clients because wills, you know, most often you have to, not always, but most often you have to go to a lawyer to have a will drawn up. A lot of people are hesitant to pick up the phone and call their lawyer.
Why do you think that is?
Well, because they've the mindset that every time they call the lawyer, they're going to be billed and that it's going to cost them X, you know, $1,000. Well, I don't really want, I'm not sure, I'll call them eventually. And too often wills are once and done. They put the drawer and they're forgotten about and not dealt with. I was guilty of that myself. Or sent me back my old will a long time ago that it took me the longest time to get around to. And sometimes, you know, people don't know otherwise. They don't know about the challenge. They think their plans are in place. You know, I have a client, and wonderful story. Let's call her Maria. She's in her early 80s. She's happily retired. She's traveling the world these days. Oh, she is so loving retired life. Two kids, everybody gets along well. Like many at her stage in life, she's got a home and she's got her investments. Her plan, and what we're talking about it, is to leave her investments to one son and leave her home to the other, because they're about, as she said, they're about equal value. And one of her sons really, you know, the family home is so important to him. See, seems to make sense. But I said, wait a minute, have you thought about what happens when your investments go to your son? You know, here in Canada, we have a thing known as a RIF, a Registered Retirement Income Fund. And there's similar things in the US. When you pass away, that comes into your income and the estate has to pay income taxes on it. I said, well, you know, you give the home to one,
tax-free,
and cash the other one, but they're not, you know, somebody's got to have to fund it. And if you haven't talked to your kids and say, wait a minute, you need to balance things out. There's a few people that talk about it, and it's in a very, very important expression. Equal is not equitable. And part of that family journey is saying, guys, I need everybody to be, got to be equitable. You know, back to my family story for a moment. One of my children, I've helped them with a purchase of their home. Some of my other children haven't had to. I've talked about it, and it's built into my will that everything gets balanced out, because instead of looking at it just at one point in time, at the time of death, let's look at it over life. You know, I may support a child a little bit more than another. I'm not talking about the little stuff. I'm talking about, you know, it's common for us, for this, our generation, to be helping our, you know, the younger generation to get started in life. Real estate is so expensive. Your will and your estate planning is a time to balance things out.
It comes down to communication. I mean, it doesn't matter. In my case, my parents didn't have that communication, so I ended up in the predicament that I ended up with. But it's when the communication that you had, you're talking about your legacy, and it's, I get the feeling that it's more than just about the financial assets. How could, you know, people do, you know, what we're talking about is purpose driven estate planning, look beyond the material, incorporating family values and non-financial aspects to having a really, truly meaningful legacy?
This works when it's there. And by the way, I'm sorry for what you went through in your family. And you and I have talked about this. It is very common, far too common. And I'd said earlier on, I'd come back to this. I'm a big believer that in families that may be prone to disputes, and they are, and it happens. It's just reality. We're not all the Brady Bunch. We're not, life does, you know, not every family gets along, and you sprinkle some dust and, you know, there you go. Everything is just wonderful. And there's plenty of families that have discord and don't get along. So then, as far as I'm concerned, The onus is on the person writing the will and their advisors as part of the estate planning process to take to try to take steps to take the air out of the take the wind out of the sails, to bulletproof the estate from disputes. Can't avoid all disputes, but there are steps that can be taken so that there isn't going to be litigation. Many things you can do legally. Probably the single most important thing is what you talk about all the time, which is communication. Sometimes you can't have that family meeting where everybody sits around together, but that doesn't prevent having a conversation with family member one, family member two, family members two, three, and four together, and one, whoever it is. It is, you got to have that conversation, and you've got to arm your advisors around that as well. Because often as a family member, whether it's the lawyer, the accountant, or the financial advisor, they're the ones who are going to have that conversation with the children. And they're the ones who might see the conflict brewing. And they're going to have to try to figure out how to diffuse it. So a big way of bulletproofing, I mean, there's lots of lots and lots of legal steps and lots of practical tips that can be taken to avoid disputes. My example before of one person gets the home, one person gets the investments, just because it seemed to make sense. Sure, as long as you build in a clause that says, make sure that everything gets balanced out with taxes before that's finalized. But having a hodgepodge clause to make sure that things are equal and are equitable more than just equal at the end.
Looking beyond the financial assets. Yeah, the money is fine. It's going to bring some security. What are the values that people who have the communications, what are they trying to pass on to the next generation that keeps the family together is my question. It's more than the money.
Yeah, it is more than money. It's about understanding what your next generation wants. So it's about understanding the aspirations. And frankly, I think often those roots, the values will also come from also understanding from where you came from and understanding your family history. And I think, both the good and the bad of it, perhaps about family history. I think it is really important to engage your children or your beneficiaries. Let's also flag here that there are a number of people who are single or do not have children. They face a different challenge in, you know, who their beneficiaries are going to be and who they pick as beneficiary. That is a whole separate topic unto itself. I think it is really important as part of estate planning, the person doing the planning and their advisors take time to understand the aspirations of that next generation. I'll tell you a story of a client of mine, the Simons family. And, you know, also relatively common, the head of the family, Sarah, she built a very successful business. Again, two kids, one kid her son who was interested and expressed an interest being in the business was pursuing a business degree. Her daughter, not at all interested in the business and pursuing a career in medicine, as it may be. And, you know, there's a challenge there because how do you balance that? Well, you know what? Sarah understood what her kids want. She understood their aspirations. And so has structured her estate that her son, should he choose to carry on with the business, will have that. The business assets are set up in a way that the income will be there to level out and pay the taxes and make sure that the estate can be balanced out. And she's got it so that her daughter's medical education is completely funded. And also in the choices of the charities that she's requesting some money to, it's as much as what's important to her kids as it is to what is important to her. That becomes the we instead of the me. That's the looking at the family and what are the entire family, goals and aspirations. Not for every family, but for most, hopefully.
Well, in our final moments, it sounds like the key takeaway is to have the communication, that there's some sort of plan in place, and that you're thinking about, you're not going to let the paperwork do the talking if you're not here. So again, today we talked about purpose-driven estate planning, legacy planning, and having that communication, and having that communication so that you help the next generation. Tell me a little bit about your company and what you do, Collective Agreement.
Thank you. In the context of our conversation, I don't know that I've ever really appreciated the importance of that name. Thank you for helping me expand on that. I bring a business pragmatism to the estate administration process. My primary work is in estate administration as a certified executive advisor. You and I are proud members of the CICEA. I help administrators navigate the estate administration process. I often say to people who are referring my services, I'm usually referred by lawyers and accountants and other advisors. But before you call lawyers, call me. Better call Bruce. Bring me in. Help get organized, and then find who are the right people to help manage it, to help you manage the entire process, help ensure you've got communication set up. By the way, we've talked about how those writing wills and estate planning have to be communicating. Number one role for an executor is knowing how to communicate and ensuring they communicate. It's all about trust, and the executor throughout the process has to communicate with all the beneficiaries, and everybody's got a vested interest in it. And how you do that, how you set things up, is really what's important. And so that's sort of the role that I play.
An important point that you bring up. I always say that you need to stay in contact with the beneficiaries, because they don't know how tough a job it is to be an executor and the responsibilities. All they're interested in is, when do I get my check?
Yeah, no, when do I get my check? It's the most common line. A big challenge everybody faces. You've got a home. You know, one of the common things in an estate is the parents' home. You can't sell it until you get your probate certificate. And the courts are backed up these days. They're overwhelmed, understandably, with estates.
And you've got to make sure that there's enough to pay the taxes.
Carry the home.
Don't scratch a check and hand out to beneficiaries, and then we do the taxes. Hey, we're short. Good luck trying to collect that cash back to help pay off the taxes. You have to keep the beneficiaries, keep them in the loop. If it's an email, a Zoom call every couple of weeks, just let them know what's going on in the process. Because it doesn't take much, if there's radio silence from the executor, that the next thing you know, they think there's something going on, you're doing something, and you could be served with a lawyer's letter. And then you've got to go in court, wasting time trying to defend yourself.
That's part of the bulletproofing I was talking about.
Absolutely.
And, you know, how common is it you've got one of the beneficiaries waiting to get their check? I need that money because they've already sort of spent it. Had you told them at the beginning, hey, understand, mom and dad's house is going to take us at least a year, maybe 2 years to sell. You're not going to see any money for at least 2 years. You got to set that up right. You got to set those expectations. You got to align the expectations right from the outset. Communication around estate planning, but also, and this is really, really critical, around estate administration. Once the executor or executors are in place, you've got to be communicating. And there's lots of ways that can be done. Do a whole podcast on that one.
It's those services and how you help executors and administrators handle estates. That's what you do at the Collective Agreement. If people want to get more information, find out a little bit more about you, where can they do that?
Thanks, David. They can find me on my website, collectiveagreement.ca. You can find me on LinkedIn, Bruce Young on LinkedIn, and my newsletter there that I usually publish an article once a month. I call it Reframing, which was an expression I use throughout our conversation today, and I use all the time. Wow. It's all how you frame it. And sometimes you have to reframe it for people to understand it.
And then that way you come to a collective agreement. See what I did there?
And you come to a collective agreement. And you can also sometimes find me cheering on the Leafs when they're playing the Canadians at my local pub.
I don't know why you want to bore people with that sort of fact. But anyway, Bruce Young, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be here. You know, you sparked another idea of having you on again soon to talk about someone who doesn't have any beneficiaries, any children. What do they do when it comes to their estate planning? That's something we should work on. We should do an episode on that.
I just published an article on that one. I'd be happy to discuss it. And David, a big shout out to you and what you do. I think you're what, this is season number four for you now?
Yes.
Season number four. I have learned so much in listening to many, many episodes. You bring on some amazing guests. I'm honored to be now on be part of the list of guests that you've had, but you're doing an amazing job, an important job for everybody. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you do for keeping this podcast. It's a lot of work to keep a podcast going.
But it's a lot of fun. And little did I know, writing the book and then come up with the idea, I, you know, end up having such great conversations and having great conversations with people such as you. That's enriched my life and also has helped a lot of people listening from the feedback I'm getting. So once again, Bruce Young, I want to thank you so much for being here on the Executor Help Podcast.
Thank you, David. Much appreciated. Wish you all the best.
Hope you enjoyed the episode. Can you do me a favor? Show some love for the podcast by leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Can you share it with your community? Subscribe or follow on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want more information, free resources, or just want to get in touch, go to davidedie.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.